Ready to optimize your nutrition this year? Meet Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Their chefs handle the shopping and chopping, delivering fresh, fully cooked meals to your door. All you have to do is heat and enjoy. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences, like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. And if you're looking to lose weight, Factor's keto meals can help you lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks. Savor nutritious, premium meals no matter how busy life gets. Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factor50off and use code FACTOR50OFF to get 50% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Weight loss with Factor Keto based on randomized controlled clinical trial. Results will vary depending on diet and exercise.
Ask the expert on the Pat Kenny Show
with Hidden Hearing. Personalized care with Hidden Hearing. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
Well, now I'm joined by consultant eye surgeon at the Wellington Clinic at the Beacon Hospital, Arthur Cummings. Arthur, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
We want to talk about myopia. And there is an Irish company doing great work in this field.
Absolutely. So, Pat, myopia is the condition of short-sightedness. And as our eye grows longer, so we become more short-sighted. So children tend to become myopic while they're growing up through their teens during their growth spurt. But if that gets out of control and the eye grows longer than what it should be, you become more myopic. And so over the years, people have thought, well, if you're -2, you get -2 glasses. And if you're -8, you get -8 glasses. What we fail to tell people is that your risk of eye disease is so much higher the more myopic you are. So for argument's sake, I've got the numbers of you. If someone who's zero, and their risk of macular myopic degeneration is zero. If you're -2, it's 13 times higher. If you're -8, it's 845 times higher. Okay. So there's a huge myopia epidemic globally where people are becoming more and more short-sighted. So what this company have done, they've got a fantastic software. It's the global leading software at the moment. And they have the ability to make the messaging simpler to the patient, make the compliance simpler for the child, and also give the provider a much better tool to try and control myopia management. So the things you can do today, like for Canada at the moment, if you see a young child who needs glasses, you may not just give glasses. You've got to give glasses that have an element of myopia control. And there are a number of ways you can slow down this process. Special glasses, special contact lenses, certain drops. So you need to have a myopia control process. And what they've done is they've created this tool that helps you as the provider give the right treatment at the right time. And it's a fabulous story. It's Irish-based, an Irish ophthalmologist at the Mater, Ian Flitcroft, and an Irish optometrist, an academic optometrist at TUD, James Lachman. And the two of them came together, saw this was a huge issue. They're both expert at myopia and put the software together, which is currently helping most practitioners globally resolve this issue or manage this issue.
Now, the way people live can change the likelihood and extent of myopia. For example, I know that when I went to university and with some of my friends, I had no glasses, didn't need glasses. But then spending hours buried in the books for weeks and weeks on end, only surfacing for, you know, recreation at the weekend, which also tended to be at close quarters in the pubs rather than out on the playing fields, that can lead to
100%, but I think you've nailed it. Is we used to think it's just about the fact that you're spending so much time up close, focusing up close. But in fact, what seems to be an almost greater attributor is the fact that you're not in the sunshine. And so what people are saying now, you need to have natural ultraviolet light for at least 16 hours a week. So if we expose, so if kids are spending more time outdoors, they can still be doing their homework and doing the things they do as long as they get enough time outdoors. So all of these are part of myopia management.
And it's not just the business of focusing at infinity, which you do when you're out of doors. It is the light.
Exactly.
Which is very, very interesting. So in terms of controlling the degradation, I suppose, of sight into increased myopia, what are the tools that you currently have at your disposal?
Right, so there are a number of tools. The one that's probably used most would be contact lenses. So, you know, multifocal contact lenses would normally be for the presbyope, the 45 and older. But they work very well for myopia control for a child. There's special contact lenses called ortho-K contact lenses, where you sleep in the contact lens at night. So when you're asleep, the contact lens is in. It changes the skin on the surface, the epithelium. You take it out in the morning. You spend the day at school without the contact lens in. And towards the end of the day, the effect wears off and you start seeing less well again. But then you put the contact lens in at night again.
And what is that contact lens doing? I mean, is it acting almost like a splint or a brace on a tooth?
That's a very interesting question. No, what it's doing is changing the shape of the cornea just by changing the shape of the skin on a temporary basis. So what happens with myopia control from an optical point of view is we do this thing called peripheral defocus. When all the light's in focus, the eye tends to grow. But when some of the light that you, whatever you're looking at, if that's in focus, but around that is out of focus, so it's called peripheral defocus, that tends to put the brakes on growth. So all of these special glasses, special contact lenses, Ortho-K, are designed to create peripheral defocus.
Now, some of the questions coming in. I'm 59 years old. I'm currently being treated with Eylea injections for wet AMD in my left eye. My optometrist caught it early and I'm responding well to the eye injections. Can I ask, please, what can I do to prevent the same problem happening in the other eye, the right eye, which has early signs of dry AMD? That's from Robert.
Robert, that's a very, very good question. There's not an awful lot you can do except to be very vigilant, and I'm sure you will be doing that anyway. So the earlier, the moment that you're diagnosed in the second eye with wet AMD, and the earlier it's treated, the less impact it's going to have finally. So the earlier you intervene, the better.
Can you ask your eye specialist a question about my seven-year-old? They've gotten related styes since they were between 2 and 3. They turn into tiny abscesses and come to a head, and sometimes we have to lance them. I've generally managed them at home with warm compresses and have given a fish oil supplement. He also has some dry skin or eczema around the eyes at times and behind the ears. Should I be more proactive and bothering the GP with these conditions?
So they're caused by an infection, and the infection normally comes from a bug that's on our hands. So with this child having...
So rubbing the eyes?
Yes, the allergy around the eyes is leading to rubbing, and that's what's being triggered. And many of these children carry the bug that causes the problem in their noses. So at some point during the day, they touch their nose, 5 minutes later, they're rubbing their eye. So you can sometimes just use a treatment that's about 3 months long of twice a day an ointment in the nose that can eradicate that source of bugs, and you can greatly reduce the incidence.
Is it always the same bug that causes the stye?
One of two. Normally Staphylococcus aureus or Staphylococcus epidermidis, those two bugs.
I have just got glasses for nighttime driving. Should I wear them for driving in the daylight as well? That's from Anne.
So Anne, that depends on what you're seeing. I mean, once you know what you're seeing without your glasses during the day, if you pass the driving test, you don't need to. I mean, the same glasses will make you slightly sharper in the day, but you probably don't need them in the day. But that's something you'd have to see. What are you seeing?
The more light you have entering the eye, the better you see.
That's exactly right. Your pupil gets smaller, and that creates more acuity, more focus.
My eye waters a lot. It feels like I have a long hair touching down along my nose. I've tried antibiotics and steroids. So the feeling of a hair that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have a good examination to make sure there's not something actually physically irritating the eye. But as we all know, if we get an irritation in the nose, we can start tearing. So I just think this person needs a good examination by an ENT surgeon to see what's happening in the nose, and then by an ophthalmologist or optometrist to make sure there's nothing on the surface of the eye that's triggering the tearing.
And this one, would you mind asking your doctor about the treatment for dry eye and the IPL treatment for this? That's from Mary.
Yeah, so dry eye is so universal now, it's incredible. People are saying that probably 80% of the population at some point have dry eye. And of those, 80% have dry eye due to what's called meibomian gland dysfunction.
And what's causing it? Is it air conditioning or?
Looking at screens.
Looking
so what happens
screens.
When we blink well, every time you blink well and the lids touch, these little glands compress and they express oil. What the oil does is two major things. The one is it lubricates the blink action, which is 10,000 blinks a day. And the second thing it does is it protects the water layer from evaporating. So if you don't have a good oil layer, your tears are a lot less robust. And so with us blinking less well, the oil in the gland starts getting thicker and thicker, and you stop expressing it well. And that's why heat works. Heat works, IPL works. IPL works by softening up the oil, by tightening up the collagen. But the bottom line is they're all like a cholesterol tablet, that while you're on the tablet, you have an effect, but when you stop the tablet, you don't have an effect anymore. Mm. But just like with cholesterol, where you can change your lifestyle to exercise more and eat a bit better, there's some lifestyle changes you can do around eyes. And if you blink better, if you learn to blink better, especially when you're on screens, then you'll find you don't need all these treatments, because every time you blink well, you release oil. So get the glands improved with IPL, with maybe unblocking the glands and other treatments. And once they the glands are functioning well again, make sure you keep them functioning well by blinking properly. And there are exercises you can do to blink properly.
From Trish, is retinal detachment more common for myopia, people who are myopic?
Yes, absolutely. So the myopia control I spoke to you about earlier, retinal detachment, if you're minus two, is three times higher in a minus two than in someone who's not minus two, someone who's emmetropic, and is 12 times higher for the minus eight. So retinal detachment, the biggest risk factor for retinal detachment is high myopia.
And how common is retinal detachment? Because if it's rare, three times rare is still rare. Do you know what I mean?
That is such a good question. It's a very, very good question. You're right. So retinal detachment is common enough if you work in an eye hospital. Like the Eye and Ear or the Mater this week will be seeing retinal detachments, probably 10 or new retinal detachments this week. But from your perspective as a myope, it's not that high. The time that it's risky is at the time that the jelly detaches, and the gel inside the eye detaches from your 50s onwards, 60s, 70s, somewhere over there. And while the gel detaches, if it's firmly attached to the retina still, it may create a little tear. And there are many conditions, and that's why myopes are advised to see an ophthalmologist on a sort of annual, biannual basis to look at what the retina looks like. If there are weak areas somewhere, you're just more susceptible, you're more aware of what to look out for.
What can be done to prevent AMD? My father had it and I'm paranoid about getting it. I'm now 60.
All right, the number one thing is not to smoke. And then the biggest risk factor for AMD, unfortunately, is getting older. So I don't know how you...
There's no cure for that.
There's no cure for that.
I have conjunctivitis for over a week in both eyes and the drops are not working. What can I do?
So you have to try a different drop. So obviously the bug that's causing your conjunctivitis, it could be viral, it could be bacterial, it could be something else, is not responding to what you're using. So typically what people do is try a different antibiotic, or what they would do is not use anything for maybe 24, 48 hours and then get a swab and try and find out what the bug is.
Can an artificial replacement lens be itself replaced? I believe the one fitted to me is incorrect. I can see better with a minus lens in spectacles and the eyes are 100% healthy.
They can be replaced, but if you've had a replacement done in the past, the longer it's been in place, the more difficult it is and the more risky the surgery is. There's a very elegant solution, and that is you can add an additional lens. So the new lens that's in the eye is 5, 6, 7, 8 times thinner than the previous natural lens. So there's a lot of space still in the eye to add another lens. So all you do is you add another lens, and you now have two artificial lenses in the eye.
Okay, and you effect...
And it can fix the,
yeah,
can fix
it
the vision.
It fixes the... Okay, I just had an eye test because when outdoors, in particular in cold weather, my sight gets foggy. I was told that I had a very slight cataract, but not enough to make my sight foggy. That's from Declan.
So in cold weather specifically, it gets worse. I would think the first thing I'd be thinking about there is that the tear layer is playing a role, because during cold weather, our tears are different to... So that could be playing a role. It makes sure that the tears are okay. It might be that when this person's cold, also it's darker, so the pupil's slightly wider. So it might be peripheral cataract. There are devices today that can explain this in more detail to both the examiner and the patient. And it might be just worthwhile having a good workup.
I've had, now this is a condition I've never heard of, Sjogren's, S-J-O,
Sjogren's,
which is affecting my eyes really badly. Any suggestions to help my red eyes?
Yeah, Sjogren's is a condition, it's an autoimmune condition that affects your salivary glands, it can affect your joints and really create dry eye. It's probably the group of patients with dry who struggle most. And so what we have found, and we're not dry specialists in this category of dry eye, but what we have found when we do see these patients is to refer them for serum tears. So this is when you get tears made from blood serum, and that tends to work best. I would certainly advise that. Finding out more about serum tears.
I have a lazy eye since childhood. Can anything be done?
Yes. Now, what I've learned in practice is that people see lazy eye in different ways. Some people think if there's a turn in the eye, it's automatically lazy. What we mean by lazy is that the brain, for whatever reason, has chosen not to use the one eye. A common reason is because there's a turn. So you're seeing double. Mm. So the brain says, I don't want to see double, and suppresses the one. Or it could be one where the one eye is seeing well and the other eye is minus four. So the brain chooses the one that's seeing well. Now, in that condition, there's therapy today that you can, at any age, improve the prognosis for the lazy eye. And it's not with patching. It's with a treatment called dicoptic therapy. The one that's most popular is called Binox. So there are therapies you can do that, working on a computer screen for half an hour a day for 6 weeks.
Please ask how to blink well. My mother-in-law currently struggling with dry eyes. Can't see anything on the web about it.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult one. So what helps us a lot is the group who are struggling the most are those on screens the whole day. But the screen now becomes a really good tool to help them blink well. So what we tell them to do is put some blue tack on the enter key on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And every time they press the enter key and they trigger, you know, they touch the blue tack, to make a very forceful blink. And you do that for 6 weeks. I mean, people in your office are going to look at you strangely, but you do that for 6 weeks and then it's conditioned. And then you forget about doing it. But every time you press
enter. But you'll keep doing it.
Yes.
Because you've now trained yourself to do it.
Yes, but you won't blink with everyone seeing, what are you doing? It'll just be a proper blink. So you can teach yourself how to blink by this conditioning.
Contrary to what was said, my sight deteriorated in bright light. For example, driving in bright daylight. I've had numerous checks, but nothing. Any idea what might be causing that? That's from Paula. Now, I don't know what the deterioration means. Does it mean things are less sharp?
I'd say so, and maybe more glare and halos. So there's one particular kind of cataracts. When we speak about cataract, people think all cataracts are the same, but cataracts are anatomically very different. And there's one cataract that behaves just like this one, and it's called a posterior subcapsular cataract. If the examiner is not looking for it, you might not see it. It's very small, but it's right in the center of your pupil. And when light strikes you from in front of you, you get glare and halos, glare and starburst.
Had laser surgery 25 years ago, had to be redone as it regressed. Now I'm 60, I need glasses more and more for reading. Could I get lasered again?
You could get lasered again, but what you want to do at 60 is, because at 60 you're not a million miles away from when cataracts may start developing. And you want to make sure you're not doing laser and then it gives you 3 or 4 years of value before you need to do something else again. So it's very worthwhile having a full examination and making and you know, determining isn't a lens replacement the better solution.
Mm. Now, the question of people, there's an old line, you go into an optician's and you come out wearing glasses, no matter what the story is. But a question of people who do get glasses, maybe for mild myopia, and then they keep on needing stronger and stronger and stronger. Does the eye get a bit lazy, allowing the glasses to do the work
for
it?
The opposite is true. If you are myopic and you're not wearing your glasses, you tend to get more myopia progression. So one of the simplest ways this is slowing down progression is by wearing your glasses. But now with myopia management, where you're really trying to put the brakes on progression, is when you have specialized glasses lenses that cause this peripheral defocus.
Another question about light. I have severe sensitivity to light. It's linked to migraine. Can anything be done other than wearing dark glasses?
You can use drops that reduce the size of the pupil. That's possible. You can try and avoid those triggers, but you want to make sure that that is the trigger. So for many people, the manifestation of migraine could be triggered by chocolate or cheese, is in fact being sensitive to light. So you want to know what's coming first, the chicken or the egg. And with any migraine or any allergy, you're always trying to avoid the trigger if you can.
Yeah, but wearing dark glasses, I mean, obviously this is someone who thinks it helps anyway.
Yeah, it may help. It may. The only way to know is to, you know, for a few times not wear the glasses and a few times wear the glasses and see if you're seeing a difference.
How many times can I get lasered in my life?
I'm presuming this person's speaking about laser vision correction. Depending on the corneal thickness and what procedures actually being
done. And is it different from person to person?
Oh, yes, it varies enormously. It varies enormously. So if someone's examined your eye, knows what needs to be done, looks at the remaining corneal thickness and the health of your cornea, you can have it a number of times and you'll still be healthy and still have a healthy cornea.
Arthur, so many questions coming in. We could be here all day talking about them, but thank you very much for all your wisdom. Arthur Combe is consultant eye surgeon at the Wellington Clinic at the Beacon Hospital. Arthur Combe, thank you very much.
Ask the expert on the Pat Kenny Show.
With Hidden Hearing. Personalised care with Hidden Hearing. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.